The idea of leaping out of a moving train onto a rooftop, knowing there is a gap between the edge of the roof and the edge of the track, makes me want to throw up. I push myself up and stumble to the opposite side of the car, where the other faction transfers stand in a line.
"We have to jump off too, then,"
a Kander girl says. She has a large nose and crooked teeth.
"Great," a Kander boy replies, "because that makes perfect sense, Molly. Leap off a train onto a roof."
"This is kind of what we signed up for, Peter," the girl points out.
"Well, I'm not doing it," says an Amity boy behind me. He has olive skin and wears a brown shirt. He is the only transfer from Amity. His cheeks shine with tears.
"You've got to," Christina says, "or you fail. Come on, it'll be all right."
"No, it won't. I'd rather be factionless than dead."
The Amity boy shakes his head. He sounds panicky. He keeps shaking his head and staring at the rooftop, which is getting closer by the second. I don't agree with him. I would rather be dead than empty, like the factionless.
"You can't force him," I say, glancing at Christina. Her brown eyes are wide, and she presses her lips together so hard they change color. She offers me her hand.
"Here," she says.
I raise an eyebrow at her hand, about to say that I don't need help. But she adds,
"I just can't do it unless someone drags me." I take her hand, and we stand at the edge of the car. As it passes the roof, I count. 1, 2, 3. On 3, we launch off the train car. A weightless moment, and then my feet slam into solid ground, and pain prickles through my shins. The jarring landing sends me sprawling on the rooftop, gravel under my cheek. I release Christina's hand. She's laughing.
"That was fun," she says.
Christina will fit in with dauntless thrill seekers. I brush grains of rock from my cheek. All the initiates except the Amity boy made it onto the roof, with varying levels of success. The Kander girl with crooked teeth, Molly, holds her ankle wincing, and Peter, the Kander boy with shiny hair, grins proudly. He must have landed on his feet. Then I hear a wail. I turn my head, searching for the source of the sound. A dauntless girl stands at the edge of the roof, staring at the ground below, screaming. Behind her, a dauntless boy holds her at the waist to keep her from falling off.
"Rita," he says.
"Rita, calm down. Rita..." I stand and look over the edge. There is a body on the pavement below us. A girl, her arms and legs bent at awkward angles, her hair spread in a fan around her head. My stomach sinks, and I stare at the railroad tracks. Not everyone made it, and even the dauntless aren't safe. Rita sinks to her knees, sobbing. I turn away. The longer I watch her, the more likely I am to cry. I can't cry in front of these people. I tell myself as sternly as possible, that is how things work here. We do dangerous things and people die. People die and we move on to the next dangerous thing. The sooner that lesson sinks in, the better chance I have at surviving initiation. I'm no longer sure that I will survive initiation. I tell myself I will count to 3, and when I'm done, I will move on. 1. I picture the girl's body on the pavement, and a shudder goes through me. 2. I hear Rita's sobs and the murmured reassurance of the boy behind her. 3. My lips pursed. I walk away from Rita and the roof's edge. My elbow stings. I pull my sleeve up to examine it, my hand shaking. Some of the skin is peeling off, but it isn't bleeding.
"Ooh, scandalous. A stiff's flashing some skin."
I lift my head. Stiff is slang for abnegation, and I'm the only one here. Peter points at me, smirking. I hear laughter. My cheeks heat up, and I let my sleeve fall.
"Listen up. My name is Max. I'm one of the leaders of your new faction," shouts a man at the other end of the roof.
He is older than the others, with deep creases in his dark skin and gray hair at his temples. And he stands on the ledge like it's a sidewalk, like someone didn't just fall to her death from it. Several stories below us is the members' entrance to our compound. If you can't muster the will to jump off, you don't belong here. Our initiates have the privilege of going first.
You want us to jump off a ledge? Asks an erudite girl. She is a few inches taller than I am, with mousy brown hair and big lips. Her mouth hangs open. I don't know why it shocks her.
Yes, Max says. He looks amused.
Is there water at the bottom or something?
Who knows? He raises his eyebrows.
The crowd in front of the initiates splits in half, making a wide path for us. I look around. No one looks eager to leap off the building. Their eyes are everywhere but on Max. Some of them nurse minor wounds or brush gravel from their clothes. I glance at Peter. He is picking at one of his cuticles, trying to act casual. I am proud. It will get me into trouble someday, but today it makes me brave. I walk toward the ledge and hear snickers behind me. Max steps aside, leaving my way clear. I walk up to the edge and look down. Wind whips through my clothes, making the fabric snap. The building I'm on forms one side of a square with three other buildings. In the center of the square is a huge hole in the concrete. I can't see what's at the bottom of it. This is a scare tactic. I will land safely at the bottom. That knowledge is the only thing that helps me step onto the ledge. My teeth chatter. I can't back down now. Not with all the people betting I'll fail behind me. My hands fumble along the collar of my shirt and find the button that secures it shut. After a few tries, I undo the hooks from collar to hem and pull it off my shoulders. Beneath it, I wear a gray t-shirt. It is tighter than any other clothes I own, and no one has ever seen me in it before. I ball up my outer shirt and look over my shoulder at Peter. I throw the ball of fabric at him as hard as I can, my jaw clenched. It hits him in the chest. He stares at me. I hear catcalls and shouts behind me. I look at the hole again. Goosebumps rise on my pale arms, and my stomach lurches. If I don't do it now, I won't be able to do it at all. I swallow hard. I don't think. I just bend my knees and jump. The air howls in my ears as the ground surges toward me, growing and expanding, or I surge toward the ground, my heart pounding so fast it hurts, every muscle in my body tensing as the falling sensation drags at my stomach. The hole surrounds me, and I drop into darkness. I hit something hard. It gives way beneath me and cradles my body. The impact knocks the wind out of me, and I wheeze, struggling to breathe again. My arms and legs sting. A net. There's a net at the bottom of the hole. I look up at the building and laugh, half relieved and half hysterical. My body shakes, and I cover my face with my hands. I just jumped off a roof. I have to stand on solid ground again. I see a few hands stretching out to me at the edge of the net, so I grab the first one I can reach and pull myself across. I roll off, and I would have half fallen face first onto a wood floor if he had not caught me. He is the young man attached to the hand I grabbed. He has a spare upper lip and a full lower lip. His eyes are so deep-set that his eyelashes touch the skin under his eyebrows, and they are dark blue, a dreaming, sleeping, waiting color. His hands grip my arms, but he releases me a moment after I stand upright again. Thank you, I say. We stand on a platform 10 feet above the ground. Around us is an open cavern. Can't believe it, a voice says from behind him. It belongs to a dark-haired girl with 3 silver rings through her right eyebrow. She smirks at me. A stiff. The first to jump? Unheard of. There's a reason why she left them, Lauren, he says. His voice is deep and it rumbles. What's your name? I don't know why I hesitate, but Beatrice just doesn't sound right anymore.
Think about it, he says, a faint smile curling his lips. You don't get to pick again.
A new place, a new name. I can be remade here.
Triss, I say firmly.
Triss, Lauren repeats, grinning. Make the announcement for... The boy, Four, looks over his shoulder and shouts, First jumper, Triss! A crowd materializes from the darkness as my eyes adjust. They cheer and pump their fists, and then another person drops into the net. Her screams follow her down. Christina. Everyone laughs, but they follow their laughter with more cheering. Four sets his hand on my back and says, Welcome to Dauntless.